Hello and welcome to Crosstalk with your hosts, Martha Lee, Bill McMillan Sr., and Anime, a podcast dedicated to encouraging and pointing people to Christ through the power of testimony, to provoke you to find your calling in the Lord. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." This podcast is brought to you by Cornerstone Ministries New Life Church. So join us on this journey to reach the world for Christ, starting in our own backyard. We pray you enjoy the podcast and it blesses and encourages you, and may you grow in His Word and Spirit.
Hello, welcome to Crosstalk. Today we have a revisit from George Wood, and he's going to share from his heart some testimonies and some wonderful stories about his journey through the years with Jesus Christ. Welcome, George.
Well, thank you very much. I want to take a moment and thank you, Anna Mae, and also thank you, Martha and Uncle Bill. It's a pleasure to be here in person. And I'm looking forward for this evening.
I'm looking forward to it, too.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Go ahead. Get started.
All right. Well, I'll start when I was very young. The Lord really captivated my heart at a young age, and I wasn't really quite sure it was God in my life. But as I look back, as I've got older, I realize, and so can anybody else who's served the Lord a long time, how important God is in your life through your life. And I look back and I think of why I want to come back in here is to talk about the healings that God has done in my life. Today I stand 60 years old, so I've served the Lord pretty well my whole life. So be able to give a testimony, or many testimonies, of the things that God's done for us to me is amazing. So I want to start when I was a young little man. Years later in my life, I was sharing with my mother. I used to have this dream over and over and over again. And it was this, I went out into the road on a tricycle. And when I'm out on the road in a tricycle, these two semis go by on a main road. And one goes one way, one goes the other way. And out of nowhere, I'm off my bike, but the tricycle's in pieces. And I never shared that as a kid to my mother or to anybody. But as I got older, I remember sharing it with my mother. And she said, "Son, I'm going to tell you this. That was not a dream. That actually happened." So that was the first miracle.
Amazing.
Amazing, right? So just being 4 or 5 years old, I look back to that and I thought, God, there must have been a plan for me. There must have been something. So later in life, I come over to this country. My father really didn't have a lot of time for me at the time. He was busy doing other things. My Aunt Lizzie Rose come over and she said to my mother, "This boy needs to really do something. What are you going to do with him?" And she said, "He can't just know about things here with three sisters. He's got to get to work." So she said, "My husband can take him." So I come over to be with my Uncle George Brenton, and It was quite the relationship. When I come over on a bus, I was only a young man, and my Bible fell to the ground, and it opened up to the book of Deuteronomy. Now imagine being 14 years old and being 4'10" and 75 pounds. And you come to a foreign country to a family that would love you and take care of you. And my mother only released me for a season. She didn't know it was going to be for so long. But I learned so many wonderful things in God. But imagine my Bible fell to the ground. And when it did, it opened up to the book of Deuteronomy. It said, "If you be willing and obedient, thou shalt prosper and eat the fruit of the land."
Wow.
Amen.
And I retained that at 14 years old. But retain it is one thing, actually living it. Now, don't get me wrong. We're all just Christians here. Right. There's none of us that are special. So as I give this testimony of things that have happened in my life, I would want nobody to take the wrong idea and think, oh, he thinks he's superior or super special in the Lord. I'm just a humble servant, Georgie Wood, that come over at a young man to a foreign country. Now, mind you, I'm born in Scotland. So at 18 months old, we came to Canada. And then at 14, I came here. My aunt and uncle had me go back to Canada for a few years to go home to my parents. And later in life, I was more happier in America. So when I come over for good. And I never did go back as far as about a visit. And I love my Canadian family. Wonderful. Couldn't ask for better family in Canada. But the Lord called me to America. Mm-hmm. He called me to go to a land flowing with milk and honey. Amen. And to prosper. Amen. So later in life, I ministered a lot of young kids. I talked before about Exodus and how wonderful that ministry was. And today there's lots of fruits of it, as you all know. You hear it many times. Yep. So I'm now about maybe 23 or 24 years old. And I'm in Florida now. I'm in Florida. And I was going to go to Switzerland. We were all going on the big trip to Switzerland. And I was going to go to Switzerland. And when I found out when I got to Florida, everybody was going to the Keys scuba diving. So I thought, instead of going to the Switzerland snowboarding, I give up my pass to somebody. I think it was young Tom Parks. And I said, I'm going to go scuba diving. So when I got there, I was too late for the classes. So as we are in our culture of people, whatever you can do, am I right or wrong, to get something done faster.
Right.
Yes. So they said, we got a place over here, and we can rent. We can get this guy to come out, and he'll give you a three-day course rather than a nine-day course, and you'll learn how to scuba dive really fast. So I said, okay, we'll do it. So beans have always been one to go out and get other young kids. I get other young kids to go and said, hey, we get this class. We can go with everybody on the weekend scuba diving in the Keys. Okay, let's get it done. So at the time, we had the church there in Billy McKenzie had it in Florida at the time. Right, right. Uncle Bill, if you remember that time.
Amen.
So I wanted to go and be involved in that. So I'm going to church there all the time, and I get these young kids, let's go. So next thing you know, there's a bunch of young boys, and we all go scuba diving into this class. But I never learned it proper anime. Imagine you're only young anyways, and you think you're listening. Scuba diving's very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yes,
the thing
is.
To really do. Yeah. So anyways, what happened, and I want to tell this story really accurate, because I've always said 60 feet under an ocean, God saved my life. That's not accurate, because I was in a lake when it happened, not in the ocean. So they give you tests. You go in a pool, and you learn how to scuba dive. So they give you these tests, but nowhere in this test did I learn of a purge button where you push. And if you push that purge button, if you swallowed anything or something didn't go wrong, everything would come out, all right? So here I am, and I went through everything, and you have one final test, because I want to make this testimony good but not too long. So there's one final test, and what you do is you have what you call a swimming buddy. Mm-hmm. So you both go down at the same time, and as you're going down for the final test, as you go down, what you have to do is you give up it's an octograb thing. You put it in your mouth, and what you do is you take it out, and then you let them know with a hand signal across your throat that you're out of air, and you don't show panic. And then your partner says okay with his finger, and he says thumbs up, so you can do your ascend. And then as you're doing it, you share that breathing buddy back and forth to each other. And as you're sharing it and as you're ascending, you share it till you get to the top because you're out of air. So it was my turn to do this. So immediately I was like, this is simple. No problem. I can do this. So I'm 60 feet under a lake because the ocean was too rough. So they took us to a lake. And at the bottom of the lake, it was funny. There was a boxing ring at the bottom of the lake.
Crazy,
yeah. But that's where they took me. So you went down and you got to the boxing ring at the bottom of the lake. And you started there. And I give my finger okay. He give his okay. And I showed the hand signal that I was out of air. And then let's ascend. Soon as I took that out of my mouth.
Panic.
It was panic. Anime, it was panic.
I knew that.
You knew it. As soon as I took it out, and it's like the Lord ministered it to me later in my life. It's like as long as we have God with us, we never panic. But the moment we do something on our own, that panic and fear comes in, right? So I took it out, and all of a sudden I couldn't breathe, and I panicked. So I go, and there's another one, all right? And they give you an extra one. It lies at your side. It's an extra octopus, I think it's called. And when I grabbed it, I went to put it in my mouth and suck air real quick. But here's what happened. I didn't grab the extra one. I accidentally grabbed my snorkel bit.
Uh-oh.
So as soon as I did...
You sucked water in? Or?
All the water in.
Oh,
in
no.
My, it went in.
That was
in,
scary.
Went in my nose, went in my ears. Now I'm like in panic state because I'm 60 feet under this cold lake, and all I want to do now is go up.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I go to go up, and then I remembered the school teacher says, as soon as you go up, you can get the bends.
Yeah.
And then you need this tank to go into the
gradually tank. You have to do it, yeah.
You have to go slow. But now I'm in panic state, and I'm like, oh, my God, I don't know what to do. And I give up the ghost. I said, Lord, I can't believe this. I've drowned under an ocean, a young man. I'm gone. And I had what you call an outer body experience. So Lord be with me while I'm sharing this because it's the gospel truth.
Amen.
I was like I could look down on myself. So imagine that. It's like you're looking down on your body because my spirit has already left. I'm looking down on myself. And I said, Lord, I can't believe this is how I've went. This is how I'm over with. And the Lord spoke to me these words. In the uttermost parts of the sea, behold, thou art there. And the wee woman, her name, I'll never forget her name. Her name was Jennifer Evans. They could look her up. She was a certified instructor. And she come over to me. And to me, it was too late. It was done. It was over. All the water come in. I was done. And she pushed this button that I didn't even know existed because I wasn't paying attention. As our culture of people do. We always know everything.
Yeah.
So, but when she pushed that button, the Lord gave a whirlwind, and it come into my lungs, and it took everything out. And all I wanted to do was get to the top of that surface.
Right.
And do you think that woman would allow it? All I want to do is get up. And I can't believe I'm alive under the water. I can't believe I'm even there. And I'm like, up. And she's like, no. And she's writing on a tablet under this lake saying, you'll never be certified. I'm like, I don't care.
I just want out.
And anyways, she had the patience to do that. And she let me finish. I had to finish it. And I went to the top with her. And I couldn't get out fast enough. And some of the young men that were there today, they never do scuba dive today. But I told them what happened, and the woman was like, it's impossible. If you took water in your lungs, if you took water in your nose, if you took water in your ears, you'd never even be around today.
Amen.
And why this testimony is so powerful to me, and it means so much, is it happened to me.
Right.
And it was real and alive. And the wonderful part about it is afterwards I went back to get my certification so we could go to the Keys that weekend. And some people would maybe never scuba dive again.
Right.
But I went in to get my certification. I says, where's Jennifer? The young man said, she quit her job. She couldn't handle it.
She couldn't take it.
She couldn't take it. She completely quit. Then we goes to the Keys, and it's John Penny Camp. If anybody's ever been there, they have a statue of our Lord Jesus Christ 60 feet under the ocean.
I've heard about it.
And you know, when I scuba dived the first time to the bottom, what do you think was on the bottom of the statue? Psalms 139.
Is that right?
If I make my bed, behold, in hell thou art there. If I take the wings of the uttermost parts of the sea, even thou art there. Just like the Lord spoke to me.
Amen.
It was...
That was twice the word of God.
Twice the word of God come to me. Yeah, animate.
And there's nothing like the Word of God, George.
No. In my life, like a young man, if you be willing and obedient, thou shalt prosper in either the fruit of the land. And yes, second major time in my life like that, the Lord spoke to me loud and clear. And he said, in the uttermost parts of the sea, thou art there. And here, he said, do my work. And that's why I've always had a heart with young people, to do what God's called me to do. Amen. And so Amen. What a testimony, huh?
Amen. Praise God.
And nobody can talk you out of an experience. When you have had that experience...
Martha, you're so right.
No one can ever take that away from you. No. I mean, there's a lot of things you can doubt in life, but you're never going to doubt them experiences, and nobody can take that away from you.
Yeah. So just kind of to try to wrap us up, not too long, but I years later, another thing is I didn't get married till later in life, and I always believed that God had somebody for me, and I'd have friends say to him, so this is important for people that's here that young want to have a spouse. You got to pray.
Amen.
You got to pray. Amen. And you got to believe that God has that person for you, no matter what. So when God put Rachel in my life, I was 32 years old, and everybody knows the testimony of that. I never, for 4 years, I consistently said, yeah, I'm going to marry that woman. She's like, never a day in hell. Make the words sweet because you'll eat them, you know? And the Lord put me and Rachel together, and we went on to have Jeannie, and then we went on to have Georgie. Well, I didn't know we were having Georgie, and I am in the beach in Fort Lauderdale, and Huey Reed seen that I had my shirt off, and he comes walking over, and he says, Georgie, this spot on your back, I'm telling you, this is bad. I said, what are you talking about? So on my left shoulder, it was maybe about the size of your pinky. And I had watched it, and I had noticed it before, but it wasn't nothing to me that ever changed or looked wrong. And Huey says to me, Georgie, that's not good. You got to have this looked at. So I said, all right, I'll go have it looked. But I got to be honest, I really didn't put no weight in that. I just figured, yeah, I'll get that looked at. But I wasn't going to go tomorrow and get it looked at. I'm going to be truthfully. So I goes home. We always would go out weekends and have the beach there. It was wonderful. Great timing. Okay. Anyways, out of nowhere, what did Huey do? He brings his mother Maggie over. I brought my mother over to show you the spot on your back. So, I'm a modest man, but I took my shirt up to show her. Well, Maggie started crying. She's like, Georgie, this is terrible. This is bad. This is melanoma. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Melanoma, too, is a word of terror.
Word of terror. And I'm 30... I'm 32, 33 years old, maybe 34, because Jeannie's already born, and I didn't know Rachel was carrying Georgie at 4 months along. And I was melanoma. All right, yeah, right, sure. So Maggie, she got into the Cleveland Clinic right there in Miami, and she got me an appointment the very next day. But it was the day before Thanksgiving. And she got me in. Wonderful for them to do. And they knew the top, his name was Boyd. His last name was Boyd. And he got me in. And I goes to see him. And he said, Mr. Wood, I hate to tell you, this is 5 millimeters in depth. Now, he has somebody from another country that he's teaching on melanoma cancer. And he's in there with them, and he's pointing it out like nothing you ever seen. And see, this is the shape, and this is the, and you're hearing all. And he said, I hate to give you this bear of news. It's not been biopsied yet, but I'm going to tell you. It's 5 millimeters in depth, and the odds is, even with chemo and radiation, you have a 6-month sentence.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
Well, I fell to my knees, and I was like, I wasn't worth a quarter. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, it's over, you know. Amen. And I went in depression really bad, and Rachel, she says to me, I gotta talk to you. She says, you have faith for everybody else.
Amen.
I only know you to be half a man of faith, and out of nowhere you're like, it's over. Pull yourself together.
Amen.
You know, and I have the written documentations for anybody to see that it came back 5 millimeters in depth, just like the doctor said, and it come back written as a benign lesion.
Wow.
Praise God.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
I'm sorry, malignant lesion. Oh. Not benign, malignant lesion.
Reverse.
Yeah. I don't know how I could even say that. Well, thank God, because it ended up, it was God give me a miracle, because I had to fight for 2 years with Blue Cross Blue Shield. Because like today, they take pre-existing conditions now. Mm-hmm. Back then, they didn't. It was on your record. It was forever. So I fought the insurance company for over 2 years, saying if it's not benign, why is it on? If it's not if it's malignant, it's on my record saying I have cancer. If it's benign and it's not cancer, it is saying malignant. You have to take it off, because I needed insurance. I needed insurance policy. They weren't covering me. So it was a fight for over 2 years. But the Lord, many times people say, oh, the doctors got it wrong. Don't you love that?
Yeah, it's always that way.
Don't you love that, Martha? Like the Uncle Bill, like, oh. And I'm like, no. And the man, now, so I got Rachel. I'm in there for my final exam after finding out everything's really good. I don't need chemo. I don't need radiation. It's all been cut out. And the man says, you're the man that has melanoma that no longer has melanoma.
Amen.
He wouldn't even claim it was a miracle. But I shared that testimony in church about 2 years later, 3 years maybe. Mm-hmm. And son Sandra was in that assembly. And I got up and I felt led to share the testimony on how the Lord healed me of that spot, and that a spot represents sin in our life, and that we have to recognize it for what it is. And if anybody has a spot on their body that they're not aware of, that you think is okay, you need to go to the physician. And that's what we need to do as Christians. We need to examine our heart. And if there's something in there, we need to deal with it.
The great physician.
Yes.
Amen.
And
amen.
And you know what? She wasn't like me the first time being told with you. We read. She went to the doctor right away. And you know, she had stage 3 melanoma on her leg. And she said, if it wasn't for your testimony, where would I be?
Right.
So that's why our testimonies are so powerful.
Amen.
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 Amen. You know? That's the truth.
So imagine that. So I've saved many times. The Lord has really saved my life. And 5 years ago or 6 years ago, I come with asthma. And I had it at 9 years old, and I outgrew it for years, never ever had it. And out of nowhere, I started coming down with asthma and allergic to the desert. I'm allergic to the whole desert. So I put a petition to the Lord constantly for that healing. So if the Lord grants me that healing, we come, the Bible says what? To come boldly before the throne room of praise for help in a time of need.
Right.
Amen.
And I am a faith believer. Because I've been through these things that are real and genuine, they're not fake, they're there. Amen.
The experience is there. I have that circled here. Experience is there. Yeah.
Two things you said, George, real quick. I don't want to jump in and interrupt you, but at the beginning you said, I'm nothing, you kept saying, you know, and I got thinking about that. And that's what we all are, nothing, but God takes nothing and makes something out of it, and He gets all the glory.
That is beautiful.
Amen.
Yeah.
And the other thing that just jumped out at me is you said how he had saved your life so many times. And I'm listening to that. And as you can tell, I'm very quiet listening to you right now over and over, and how he saved your life. And it was like in my heart, I felt like, yes, he did. But the greatest thing he did was save your soul.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. And that life representation was like a prelude to what's coming, George.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It shows other people, no matter where you're at, if you're down in the ocean, if you're on a mountaintop, He is with us.
Amen.
That's what I've took from it. It's really, truly blessed me, your testimony.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I have a tear in my eye with you sharing that and saying that. And this is what these podcasts are important for. We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. I said it in the word of our testimony. If we can't take the time, that's why this ministry, Uncle Bill, is so important. Man, and May, this is why your ministry is so important. Martha, this is why. Because it's real, genuine stuff. It ain't made up. You can't make it up.
No.
This can't be made up.
And nobody's story is the same.
We
all met the same man, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But we all met him in a different way.
Met him in a different
way. He touched us in a different way. I mean, he's personal. He's personal.
And that's what's wonderful about it. But the beautiful thing of not only having Jesus as our personal Savior and having a real, genuine walk with Him, because that's what we have to have. And you know if you have it or not. You don't need to go to somebody. You know if you have Jesus in your heart or not. You know it. You know that you know that you know. And nobody could ever try and take away my testimonies. They can't do it. They're there. But I'm going to share. So when you serve the Lord and then you have children, and one day, good Lord willing, I'll have wonderful grandchildren. But what I do know is when you have children and then you worry about them, because we're only human. You prick us, we bleed. Then you worry about what they go through. And God's been not only faithful to me in my life and my testimonies in healing. My one son, Frankie, he reached for a cookie, and when he come down, his chin fell on the counter, and the tongue was near cut right off, and they sewed it on. And you know, I stayed up with my boy. The doctor said, if he pulls them stitches out, we can't re-sew the tongue. And you know, I stepped up with my boy for 3 or 4 nights. Wouldn't go to sleep. Stayed with that son. He's my son. And thank God, he speaks beautiful.
Yep.
Never had a tongue problem. Another miracle. Then my son, Davey. My son, Davey.
Because the boy might be speaking the word of the Lord.
Yeah, amen.
There you go. Then my son, Davey, he drank antifreeze.
Oh.
Antifreeze. A teaspoon will kill you. And we rushed him to the hospital. And the doctors are like, we're putting him on dialysis. And, you know, we stayed there for hours praying and seeking the Lord. And, you know, they never put him on dialysis. Every time they tested his blood, nothing was in his blood.
Praise God.
Nothing. Yeah. Another wonderful miracle.
Amen.
Then when he jumped on the jumping thing up and down, he broke his foot. It was called a saltus hares fracture. The bone is... break. Once it grows, the growth plate is gone. It's done. They said, what we're going to do is we're going to wait. We're going to break the other foot so that way he won't have 2 or 3 inches or 4 inches short. He'll grow the same. Well, it was 7.5 inches. So, Davey, you see what size of a boy he is today. Amen. Could you imagine if he only had 7.5 inches from his ankle to his knee? And the Lord give him a complete miracle.
Amen.
And it's documented also. So, amen. How faithful the Lord been, not only to us, but to our children. I'm sure everybody out there that's listening, each and every one of us in here, we have our testimonies that are
Amen.
Powerful and
Amen.
How great God is. He's a healing Jesus.
Amen.
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 But let me tell you, if you truly love Him and serve Him, His benefits are so much there for us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen.
So Amen.
Much there for us.
Amen. Amen. You know, Amen. Forget not His benefits.
Amen.
Forget not His benefits. Amen. Very powerful testimonies, George. Very powerful.
And I think I just have one more, and I feel we can wrap this up. And this is on anybody who doesn't want to forgive. Okay?
Amen.
You cannot not forgive someone.
Amen.
And we can't do it on our own ability. It takes Christ in you to forgive.
Amen.
And I remember when my Frankie was young, and he put his head through the railing of our stairway. And if he was only one more step away, he could have hung himself. But he was holding on the toes on the step up from that. Mm-hmm. And old Frank Calvi, loved the man with all my heart, wonderful man. Mm-hmm. Very blessed me with many, many scriptures and revelations, but he took a saw and he cut, or a knife, and he cut that wooden thing. He didn't stop till he could get out. And it was wonderful that and really all he had to do is the way he went out is the head, the body just has to slide back through. But you know, in a panic state, nobody ever knows what to do.
Right.
Amen.
You know. So, but he could have hung himself. And then also, you know, the things on the blinds,
yeah,
and they say what on
every one of them. Yeah,
it says don't because your child. Well, Rachel had a dollar store chair out of the dollar store, a little plastic chair, and it was over by the window, and he stood on that, and it hung him on the
unbelievable
on the neck. So it would actually have choked him. When Davey was born, the cord was wrapped around his neck twice, and 3 times they come in to give Rachel cesarean, and all 3 times another baby had more of a danger, and they left her and went to somewhere else. And the Lord allowed a miracle to happen, and Davy was born natural. I got to cut that cord that was wrapped around his neck twice. And it almost at the point where it will choke you. And that's what God is so faithful to us. And please, people, have an ear to hear. Whatever wound or hurt is in your life or trespass you can't get over, today's the day to remember that you need to, because you need your healing. You need your child protected. Amen. You need your life protected. And if we hold on, it's almost to the point of suffocation with that testimony, that you could die or hang yourself, and then life is eternal.
Amen. Amen.
It's forever.
Amen.
It's good.
Good.
Well, forgiven, it isn't just for the people, it's for you too. It sets you free. Because you no more think about the bad stuff or hold on to it, you're set free.
And free indeed.
Amen.
Amen.
I love the interaction you have. It's Amen. Wonderful.
Amen. Well, we want to thank you, George, for coming on. We really appreciate it. You taking the time to do a second podcast for us, and I'm sure we got a third down the road.
I hope so, but I know one thing, I can't thank yous enough, because your spirits are wonderful, your ministry is wonderful, and I want to hear everybody else's too. Yeah. So I encourage anybody out there, get involved.
Get involved and keep us in prayer.
And on a personal note, I appreciate you, George, the work you're doing with our kids right now with the guitar lessons.
Yes, amen.
Stuff.
Thank you.
I appreciate that, so...
I love yous all.
I love you. We love you too, George. You and your family.
Thank you.
God bless.
Well, that's our podcast for this week. Join us next Monday for the latest podcast. And remember, you can scroll down and listen to any that you missed. Please follow us on Spotify and tap the notification bell to have every new podcast loaded automatically. The Spotify app is free and it makes it much easier. We will be posting new podcast links on New Life Church Facebook page every Monday. Thank you for listening, and we hope you listen next week. God bless.